Today on Analog Out, Bethesda fucks people over with Fallout 76. We're excited for Smash Brothers, more PS4 censorship, and are video games an investment? Check it out. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of Analog Out. I'm here with my co-host, Bozeman.
Hey, everybody.
And we got a special guest for you today. Someone who I shared a womb with, not personally. We weren't in there at the same time, but he did go into the same womb and came out of the same person. He's my brother, and his name is Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Peachy.
Yeah? You like our new studio?
Yeah,
don't tell them what it's like. We don't want to pull the veil back.
It's,
but
it's pretty good, yeah.
Thank you.
Comfortable.
Yeah. So what's it like being in the Game Boys, the Analog Out podcast, for the first time?
I thought it'd be more comfortable, but I'm it's exciting.
Well, we're not. It's comfortable for us. We're not prepped for a third person usually.
Yeah, I understand that.
We used to have a tiny little mic stand, but Bowman took it home selfishly.
We can probably invest in another stand.
Yeah, these are $15.
Yeah.
So it's about time. We were trying to keep it cheap when we first bought this stuff. Yeah. Anyway, not too much going on this week in gaming news. I've been playing. I'm finally almost done with Persona 5. And I know I've been saying that for a month or two. But when I say I'm finally almost done, I mean I beat possibly the final boss tonight. So, I'm excited for that.
Dude, congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm ready to get cooking on that Red Dead for 3 days until Smash Brothers comes out on Friday, Thursday night. You guys excited for Smash Brothers?
Yeah, I'm quite excited. I mean, we're probably throwing a midnight party and playing it for several hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a party, but we will be here at midnight.
We're all going to have our Switches. So.
Yeah.
Are you guys all hanging out? I haven't heard
about
it.
Yeah, are you going to come over? I mean, it's his birthday on Thursday night.
Thursday night?
Yeah, so we're probably just going to go to dinner and then come back here as of midnight playing Smash Bros.
So I was actually going to ask you about those plans because you never really confirmed with me.
Oh, sure. No. So it comes out Thursday at midnight, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I can hang out.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, we're having like a little sleepover.
Sure.
Woo.
Yeah, so I'm definitely picking that up at GameStop at midnight. I already have the discounted version pre-ordered at Amazon, but I'm going to just wait till that comes in the mail and then return it at GameStop.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, it's a little life hack for you.
Damn.
Yeah, luckily I got the digital version when I bought the Switch, so.
Right. Well, we don't like digital versions here on this show.
Yeah, I wanted a hard copy, but it was selling for less than what the hard copy was worth online, so it wasn't worth it.
What was it selling for online?
Like $45.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
I thought it would be roughly about the same price. I
figured you could sell it for $50 easy.
Yeah. No. Everything I saw was $45, and those weren't selling.
Well, because probably so many people bought it to get the bundle. The bundle.
Yeah.
So
I wish they were selling that stuff separately, like they are in Japan, because I want that dock.
The dock is nice. Nothing else is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And in Japan, they sell every individual piece of that bundle separately on their website.
Yeah.
But
that's
here they're not.
Sweet. Yeah.
So, and you can buy them on eBay, but they're like $120 as opposed to like $70 on Nintendo Japan's website.
Right.
And I need another dock anyway. Well, not need, but I would like one.
Yeah, it'd be nice to just move your Switch around from room to room with the dock. That'd be pretty sweet.
Right. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. Coming out Thursday night, hopefully. When do you think we're going to hear about that DLC? Are you buying the DLC package?
I said I'd buy it right away, but there's really no reason to buy it right away.
Yeah, I don't know if they said it was like discounted or not if you bought it right away.
I don't think it is. I think it's the same story for their other seasonal. What do they call? I don't buy DLC usually. What do they call them? Season pass.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Zelda, the price never changed for it, I don't think.
$20, yeah.
It never changed.
Well, what's included in this DLC?
I didn't
hear about it.
Five characters, five stages, five songs. So it's like there's five pieces of DLC, and each one comes with a character, a stage for that character, and the music for that character.
Is that the only way to get these characters?
Yes.
Well, yeah, they're going to release them in individual packs when they come out. They'll be $6 mm-hmm. each if you want to do it that
way.
So
it's $30.
So yeah.
But the DLC pack is $25.
Yeah. Right. And the only real thing they're giving you for buying the season pass right now is they're giving you some Mii costume of a Xenoblade Chronicles 2 character.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not really anything that you really need to, like,
right,
don't worry about it right now if you're counting your pennies at the moment, like, or anything like that.
They haven't even said what it is yet. They haven't announced what five characters it is.
Yeah, he just said, please trust us.
Yeah.
I mean, basically. Knowing then they were going to put the best five characters in that downloaded content.
Hey, Maya, the ones they released for the Wii U were pretty great. Pretty big characters.
I mean,
Bayonetta, Ryu.
Sure you're in the mic here.
Yeah. What's the one you're super excited about? The, like, the villain, the big boss guy.
Oh, Ridley?
I bet you he's going to be in there.
No, he's already included.
He's in the roster.
Oh, okay. So its characters not even included on the roster then.
Yeah, we don't know who they are.
No,
okay,
no, they're literally new characters.
Everyone that they've shown so far is included in the game.
Okay, yes. Okay.
The five DLC characters are just question marks at this point.
That they haven't even announced. Okay.
Right.
And it's important to point out that the Piranha Plant will be a paid thing at some point.
But it comes
free. But early adopters will get that for free. That's not coming out for like another couple months, though, or something like that. Maybe, yeah.
I think they said January, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I probably won't get the DLC on the first day, like you said, because why bother?
You might as well wait and see what the characters are first.
No, I mean, I'm going to get it regardless.
I'm definitely getting it.
But yeah.
It doesn't matter what
it
is, but I just don't know if I'm, because I'm already going
to
drop $50 on the game that day. Right. Why bother with the additional $25 if I don't need to immediately? So, but yeah, we're definitely excited. If you're out there listening and you live nearby, come on out for the Smash Brothers midnight party at my place.
Come on out. Join us.
Because we want you. We want to beat you. I want to beat you.
You want to beat you?
I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that they undid the nerf of Game & Watch from the last game.
That would be nice.
Oh, God. I don't want to deal with you playing Game & Watch again.
I know, right? I don't think anybody does.
I mean, they already got rid of the... they already changed back the torch move,
right?
Since it was the torch move, we did mm-hmm. talk about this, and it
no, we ended up
cutting
it. We cut the whole segment because it was too.
I don't know if you knew about this, but
Game & Watch, they had a when he does this. First of all, I'm kind of thinking that they might have unnerfed him because they put so much effort into updating his character in this game. So basically, when he does his torch move now,
right?
It was in the demo and stuff. He like because it's from a Game & Watch game where he was an Indian and a Native American, and he in the original demo he has like the headband with the feather and stuff on it when he does the move, and people got upset and on Twitter and they changed it back to what is it now, a bandit?
Yes, because the bandit was the other character that was in that same exact Game &
Watch
game. So,
they've added a little. They've added like little animations from all the games that he's from, in for every one of his moves now, where he has like facial features and stuff. They've put so much.
I'm
effort.
Excited.
Yeah,
they put so much effort.
They got to make him at least a little bit stronger than he was in the previous game.
He was a main character in Brawl. Yeah, I used him in Brawl as my main character, and I was really, really good with him. They made him so weak in the new games. So
yeah, he was useless once the new game came out.
Yeah, which was my most disappointing part. So yeah, very excited. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Go out there and get your Smash Brothers, boys.
Do we want to talk about how the game leaked at all?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. So the game leaked.
Like 2 weeks prior to the
release
date.
I was walking on my campus. I'm going to college right now, and I was walking, and there's these guys.
There's like a street peddler with copies of the game out there?
No, but there's these guys that there's a club in my campus where they meet in this one spot, and they're consistently there every day. I always see them there. They play Smash Brothers for Wii U or even the N64 one.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just have it all hooked up. Some guy brings a little CRT TV sometimes, and they always play it. And then, of course, sure enough, I walked by there a couple days ago, and they're playing the Switch one.
Did you ask to play?
No.
I would have missed class. Yeah, I would have missed class.
I'm like, oh, can I play with you guys?
No. Well, because I walked up to them in the past, and they're kind of spurgy, and they didn't really...
It's a very exclusive club.
It's kind of a thing where they probably have so... I don't blame them. They probably have so many people walk up being like, what are you guys doing over here? You guys playing... Oh, I love Smash Brothers. And they're like, they're like pretty serious about it. They play all the time.
Well, that's why you go into a room where not 1,000 people are walking by watching you.
Well, I'm just saying, I understand why they kind of just brushed me off. Like, everyone, I think everyone, like, brings their own GameCube controller and stuff. They're that kind of crowd where they, like, unplug in and out and stuff.
Oh, so question. How easy is it going to be to get the ports for the GameCube controllers?
No idea, because him and I already own it, so...
They're already out. They're already available.
Yeah? Okay.
You can go to GameStop right now and get them.
I'll probably be grabbing one.
I mean,
because
the Wii U ones work.
I already have two, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the Wii U.
They're the same exact piece of hardware. It goes through USB.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, this game leaked 2 weeks beforehand. Apparently, some game shop in Mexico was selling it.
Yeah. Always
and,
Mexico.
Yeah. And
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, games leak. It's whatever. Yeah. I think that those people, I think Nintendo should probably find out who they are, never send them any games again.
Yeah.
And they'll probably go out of business. And,
I mean,
you
2 weeks
whatever.
Is a pretty
That's a pretty
large
big oversight.
Amount.
That's
yeah.
kind of, I view that, though, as kind of like Nintendo's fault, too. Because it's like, why are you sending out games?
Exactly. Yeah, don't send them out that early.
Because it didn't even have to be sold. What if somebody just said, hey, my store has these games in the back, why don't you just steal them? And then you have a You know, the exact same thing happens. So,
yep.
I think that as far as games get leaked, it is what it is. It's rare for a big Nintendo game like this to get leaked. That's for sure. But it still happens.
Well, it's also the Switch has been such a... It got hacked so early on, and it's so easy to mod them now. So it's easy to rip these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is what it is, but... You know, it's unfortunate for them because it's like one of their major games, and now you have potentially hundreds of thousands of people
that aren't
out there
buy it.
Playing it, not buying it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll hurt them too much, though. I think it'll still...
It's still going to be like one of the most sold
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I think it'll
maybe.
Probably sell... I think it'll probably sell like 15 to 20 million copies when everything's said and done.
Yeah.
I think the 3DS and... The 3DS version sold like 8 or 10 million. So I think it'll probably have like a 40 to 50% capture rate with Switch owners. It's not the kind of game.
It's not a console seller.
No, it really isn't. And I don't know why people say that it is, because a console selling game to me, it's a console selling game to like hardcore gamers. But to me, a console selling game is a game that makes a mom buy the console for a kid who wants it, who wants to play this game and wants it so bad that they're like, I don't want any other gifts, just give me this game and the system. That to me is a console seller. When you're talking about for adults, any game could be a console seller when they finally just go, all right, well, I guess I'm going to buy this console. To me, a console seller is like Sonic or Mario, things like that, where you're not winning over 30-year-old guys, you're winning over little kids who are like, I played this game at my friend's house, I need this game, I want it. And that's what convinces the parent to finally be like, okay. And Smash Brothers is not that console, or not that game to sell consoles. And a story that happened recently was my uncle contacted me and said he got a Switch for him and his kids for Christmas. And, He was like, yeah, I got Smash Brothers, I got Mario Odyssey, and I got Mario Kart. And I was like, how old are your kids? And he was like, 8. And
you didn't know how old they were?
No.
They are your nieces and nephews.
They're my cousins.
Oh, yeah, cousins.
I don't fucking know how old they are. I don't...
They're young. They're young is the point.
Yeah, they're like eight and five.
They won't enjoy Smash Brothers
right,
at all.
So they're like 8 and 5, and I was like... Mario Odyssey might be too difficult for them.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, Smash Brothers. I explained what Smash Brothers was, and he was like, oh. And then he returned it and got Mario Party instead. So
wait, how did he return Smash Brothers?
It was a he, like, canceled the pre-order.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't know what he's doing with games. I don't know even where he got it from, but it was a pre-order.
Probably the game store employee was just like...
Well, I doubt he went to a game store. I think he probably went to like Target or whatever, or Walmart. Okay. Online.
Probably all online.
But yeah, so it's really not... You're not going to win over like little kids. And that's... When you're talking about a big base of buyers, when you're talking about like selling 50 million units of like 50 million Switches, and you want... 50% of those people, you're talking about families and kids and stuff. You're always going to have that 10 to 20 million hardcore gamers that are going to buy it, but you're not. If you really want to break through, like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers Wii or whatever, that thing sold like 50 million copies or something. That's because it got into the homes of like little kids and families.
And Wii Sports.
Right. And Smash Brothers is not Smash Brothers is not that game, even though it is one of my favorite franchises of all time. It's just not that kind of game.
Yeah, it is to us. Like,
it's too
our
difficult.
Ages.
Yeah, it's too difficult. It's too competitive. People don't like to lose. And
yeah, we have had a lot of competitive tournaments for this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah, so.
And it usually comes down
to
one or two people.
I always win.
I have won like two or three of them.
I don't remember
out of the 25 we've done.
Anywho. So, yeah, I'm excited. And it's unfortunate that it got released. But, you know, I mean, if I had a hacked Wii, I'd be playing it right now.
One out for old Sakurai on that one.
Bye-bye. So yeah, that's the thing. That's the argument I kept hearing, was it was disrespectful to him. And it's just like... It's disrespectful anytime a game gets leaked and the people work on it. Just because this guy's kind of like a little celebrity and people know who he is, and like nobody knows who the developers of like Assassin's Creed is.
I mean, wasn't Red Dead Redemption 2 also leaked?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It's possible. So, all right. Moving on from Smash Bros. Fallout 76. You a Fallout fan, Bowman?
No.
No? You played New Vegas, right?
I like New Vegas. I
Are you a Fallout fan, Tim?
I have attempted to play two of their Fallout games in the series, and I maybe got a couple hours into each of them.
Which ones?
Fallout 4 and Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout New Vegas is good.
New Vegas is fun.
Fallout 4 I didn't like because it removed a lot of the RPG elements and stuff and made it more of a shooter. Anyway... So, Fallout 76 comes. This is their big flagship title for the year. Bethesda has been really just batting 1,000 for the last few years. Had huge hit after huge hit after huge hit. This is the first time in a while that they've done goofed this hard. Are you familiar with the Fallout 76 ongoing
situation? Yeah, I mean, people don't like it. At least it's getting a lot of bad. It's under the scope right now, and a lot of people don't like it.
Right. Well, now they're dogpiling on it.
All I've heard is people hate it. I don't know why,
So Fallout is a RPG, and first and foremost, and what they did was they removed all the NPCs and all the storyline, and just made it like an online shooter, and every character you see is just another person. But the servers only hold 24 people, I think, and it's not like a constant server like World of Warcraft. It's not like an MMO.
So they were trying to make something kind of like Destiny, but like...
I guess,
limited it to 24 people per server.
Right, and it's... Or like Rust, or one of the H1Z1s, something like that, if you ever play that, because it's like a survival game.
Yeah.
So, basically... Well, the game is a piece of shit. It's full of bugs. It's apparently not fun. I've watched a lot of like videos of people playing it. Doesn't look fun. It's full of bugs. It runs awful. Even on the Xbox One X, which is the most powerful console ever created. And it chugs. It runs like garbage. So already the game is broken. And like you said, the game's been under the microscope. So people have been looking at it. Well, then people started getting their $200 special editions. Have you heard about this, Bowman?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't.
So no? Okay.
I'm kind of excited to hear this now.
So, when the game was announced, they announced this $200 power armor edition that comes with, like, the helmet and everything. It comes with a bunch of random worthless crap.
Right.
And what housed the random worthless crap was a really nice looking canvas bag that I think it says Vault-Tec on it. And if like a canvas bag, like think about like what an army person would have, like a really thick, like a army green, like duffel bag that's okay. Like a cloth, looked really nice. Well, people started getting their special editions this week, and mind you, this is a $200 special edition. When they opened it up, they noticed that they did not get a nice canvas bag. Instead, everything was housed in
like the nylon bag?
It's like satin or something. Yeah. Like, you know those, those free
backpacks they give out?
Those free backpacks they give out that, like, would,
like at concerts
that will tear.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Or, like, we got one recently at our gym and they just, like, fall apart really easily and they're, like, super thin. They're made of, like, satin. That's what was.
I would be pissed.
That's what was in it. And then it just had the logo from the duffel bag on it that they originally showed. So
how'd that turn with the community then?
So people are not happy, and it did not help that people were already pissed off because
how crappy the game came out.
Right, and basically, how badly do you think Bowman? This question is mostly you can give your opinion too, Tim, but mostly curious. How badly do you think they've hurt their reputation in the last year? Because they don't. They've had hit after hit, but they also already have a very shaky reputation. Like, people already make fun of them because all their games that every time they release them are always buggy and broken. And like, anytime there's some goofy ass shit going on in a game, everyone just goes, yeah, it's Bethesda game. So already their reputation is kind of like meh. How long do you think? What do they have to do to repair this?
To repair this situation?
To repair their reputation after this last
month. Well, I mean, as I can tell so far, they have not really done a good job addressing the issue.
Oh, yes. And real quick, let me add on here.
Yeah.
They addressed the issue with the bags when people were outraged, and they offered $5 in digital currency on
just
the Fallout
the
76. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and it's not even enough. This was a funny thing that I saw. It's not even enough money in the game to buy a digital duffel bag in the game.
It's a very bad look.
Right.
Realistically, what they should do is, first of all, just apologize for that pathetic gift.
I don't think they've acknowledged it.
Yeah. So they probably should have offered some type of thing where people can maybe, you know, go to a store and just return the bags, and then they'll maybe give you like a partial refund, or
they need to just make good on it. You can't,
or just they can just offer like maybe we're gonna do like this special gift as like an apology. Something needs to be done for
more
it.
More so than the gift, though. I just mean everything between
the game and everything. That game is such a fire right now, dude. I think obviously they're gonna have to address it in a patch. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure is what they're already working on to fix this game up. I think we've got a No Man's Sky situation in our hands when it comes to this game.
I could see that.
Where a year from now, this game might be playable.
Yeah, and then I see No Man's Sky on sale for $9.99 at Walmart or whatever. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think everybody's pissed at this game. They definitely have damaged their reputation quite a bit, especially with the collector's editions. And more people are starting to see less value in these collector's editions.
Yeah.
So I think they're just another testament to that.
Well, it's like the collector's edition for Fallout 4 that they did, where they were like, you're going to get a real Pip-Boy. And it was like $150-$200. And then you get it, and it's just a plastic shell. And the like display that they showed in the special edition, it was just a piece of paper that was in the window. And you just put your phone in there. Yeah.
So people are goofing themselves with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But they misrepresent how good the stuff is going to be. Obviously, they showed pictures of it, and it's like, this is not what you gave us.
Yeah. It'll hurt them. It will hurt them in the end.
This is a blatant example of false advertisement. I think they're going to get hit with a class action lawsuit if they don't remedy the situation fast. And they're going to end up losing money on it anyway. So they might to garner goodwill, they might want to just, you know, suck it up and be like, okay, we're going to make the bags and send them out to everyone
yeah.
who goes on this website and files their UPC code or whatever with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. They have to supply the bag that they offered in the first place.
You know, and that's the first thing that I thought of, too, and I think it's weird. Like, I haven't even seen that really being said, where it's just like, we're waiting for Bethesda's answer to this. And it's like, there's only one answer, and that's to make the bag and send it.
I mean, yeah, that's everyone's biggest complaint with the collection portion of it, but I mean, with the game-wise, that's obviously, like Bowman said, it's going to have to be patched and fixed quickly, hopefully, not in a year from now. But definitely with the bag, yeah, you just give them the bag that you offered.
It's done. As far as the game goes, they can patch it, they can fix it, and you might salvage. They're going to maybe salvage something out of it, but when in this industry, if your game isn't ready to go within, like they maybe have like a month after release to take care of it. If you can't get your shit together by then, it's done. You're not going to end up making any kind of meaningful contribution, especially with third-party games, like third-party AAA games. This game, if it sold 10 million copies in its first week and was in one game of the year, this game would be $15 still in a year from now. So when you add into that the fact that it's broken and nobody wants it and it's not a good game, yeah, there's such a small window for like a shooter especially, because there's so many that are coming out all the time. You're done. Like, did the new Call of Duty come out? Are they doing a new Call of Duty this year?
Yeah, a new one came out, what, like a month and a half ago?
Don't look at us. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're the guy for this.
I mean, I haven't played Call of Duty in years, but I know the new Black Ops came
That's
out.
That's right. Black Ops 4, I think.
Yeah, I think it came out maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago.
So, yeah, in the span of, you know, the last month and a half, like, multiple major shooters have come out.
Yeah, and that one's a huge hit, too.
Yeah, on top of Fallout. So you don't have a lot of leeway when it comes to this type of stuff.
They definitely damaged the Fallout brand with this. I mean, I think it's a similar story with how Mass Effect was pretty much...
They're done.
They killed that series.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as drastic as the Mass Effect.
But that was just one game. I mean, yeah, Mass Effect 3 had, like, fan backlash for the ending, but yeah, it still got, like, good critical...
Well, we're talking about them releasing a broken game.
Yeah.
And it just destroyed that game.
Yeah.
It buried it. And I think we could have a similar situation with Fallout. Like you said, if they don't address this soon, these games are just going to be marked down, and the value of that game is just gone. Nobody wants it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. I honestly thought this whole Fallout 76 was just strange in the very beginning. I remember when it was announced, it just seemed like a little, like...
Yeah,
everything happened so fast.
Yeah,
it
well, I love Fallout, and when I saw that game, I was like, not a chance am I buying this.
I mean, like I said, I've only played a couple hours of the Fallout series, but I could tell this game is completely different than what they're used to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is not Fallout. Like, it's a totally different game.
I think they were trying to maybe...
get with what's hip right now.
Right, which is multiplayer online stuff.
Yeah, which if they don't fix it, there's not going to be enough players online to be able to play the game at all.
It's not going
to
be entertaining. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing, too, when you bring up that maybe in a year or whatever they'll have it fixed, it's like, yeah, but will there be enough people to play it when it's fixed that will it even be fun? Because there's no NPCs in the game. There's no storyline.
Yeah, it's 25-minute queues just to get 24 people in a lobby.
Yeah.
It's
so
not worth it.
Well, it doesn't work like that. It's not like a match. It's just always the servers, I think, always open for
just
people
like
to come
pick
in
the server, and it tells you how many people
right are exactly okay. So yeah, anyway, Fallout 76, Bethesda, poo-poo on you, disappointing you. Just one real quick thing too is that guy who runs Bethesda, Todd Phillips, I think his name is, or something, Todd Howard, something like that, he's like the new Peter Molyneux. Like, always making these huge promises that it never comes to fruition. It's just, like, goofy. You remember Peter Molyneux?
You have to refresh me on this.
He did Black and White. He did Fable.
Yes,
Milo.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so he was always like, this game is going to revolutionize the way games work. We have a 100% smart AI in this game. Yeah, and he it's just
said
like,
that with the Fable like teaser, yeah. teaser and everything. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Well, yeah. We got one more news article. Bowman, why don't you take this one? This is the Senran Kagura PS4 censorship.
Yes, Senran Kagura.
One of our favorite topics, censorship.
Seven, which, if you're not familiar with Senran Kagura, do you know the series at all?
Only from what's been talked on this show.
Oh, okay. So it's the pretty famous game. It's got a lot of side games and all that. Pat and I just got our copies in the mail from Limited Run.
It's a fan service anime game with, like, anime girls with, like, enormous boobs.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
it's always, like, scantily clad.
It's just it's basically, what's that big, massive dragon, Dynasty War. It's basically kind of like a Dynasty Warriors type of game.
Oh, it's like
game.
A hack and slash game.
Hack and slash Dynasty Warriors game.
Not Dynasty War. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you kill a lot of enemies, and then what happens when you get damaged or you damage the other enemies, your clothes get ripped off. And it's just like a really like goofy, over-the-top series. It's gotten pretty popular at this point. The Peach Splash was a hit, and Nintendo even released in a Senran Kagura Reflections, which is a dating sim basically, where you just it's just a silly game where you just screw up the girls. That's pretty much all it is.
Right.
But Sony's recent stance, we've discussed this a lot, but
Sony just keeps slipping and slipping further down that slope.
They have enlisted a new policy that is starting to censor random games, and it's not clear what these policies are, but so far it's just been targeting random fan service,
mostly
anime games like this. So
they're just like big boobs, nope.
Senran Kagura is a very big franchise at this point, and they're having issues releasing it now because they have to adhere to these worldwide policies through Sony, and Sony is giving them issues. So it's troubling because this is what the game is like all based around.
Right.
And yeah. if they're going, they've already. The previous game that came out, Burst Renewal, which was a remake. They had to remove this entire element of the game, which was basically like the groping part. Every Senran Kagura pretty much had this feature where you could go in and just it's
like the dressing room.
It's a dressing room type thing.
So you can change their outfits, and then while you're changing their outfits, you can like poke at their boobs and stuff.
It's not
and, like make noises.
It's not sexual. It's literal. I mean, it is sexual, but it's not like
it's
not
funny. Sexual.
It's just silly. It's not like flat out porn.
Yeah.
And Sony made them remove that. And so they could release the game. The PC iteration still had it intact.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now this is alarming because they've already been willing to like
compromise. Yeah.
And now they're having issues with their latest release. So it's just Sony's policies are becoming more strict and strict. So this game possibly may not have a home on the PlayStation at this point.
So I told you earlier that I hadn't heard about this, but I lied. I actually know a lot about this. I've done some research recently on it. And basically the issue is, it's not just an American problem.
It's global.
Right. Yeah. So the issue is that Sony moved their operations for the way that the games are passed through to publish to California, from Japan to California. And that's for the global, on the global level. So when Japan wants to release a game, they have to send it to California, and they have to review it and look at it and give it the seal of approval. And the problem is that the standards of California are not even the standards in the majority of America, let alone Japan.
Well, yeah.
You know, Silicon Valley and like that whole area, LA and San Francisco, it's a very, very different atmosphere and cultural situation than the rest of the world, really. And that seems to be the problem, is that they're sending so not only like Japan only companies can't even get their games passed through their censorship unless they adhere to American censorship standards. And that seems to be the real issue, is more so because it's always been pretty tight when it comes to bringing these games over to America. We're always like pleasantly surprised when these games get brought over. It's not like we expect it.
Yeah.
And now they can't get made, period, because of Sony's new situation. And this has been going on for a few months now, but just recently had I done the research and realized what was going on and why all of a sudden it changed. And it wasn't because Sony just decided as a company, we're not going to do this anymore. It was because they sent their operations over to California. And for the last few months, they've been like, nope, nope, nope.
Well, you guys said that, like, they haven't even posted what their censorship really is either.
No.
That's the biggest standpoint. It's like, so, like, games don't even, like, know what to do.
Right, exactly.
Because they don't have anything to go off of.
The thing is, it seems very biased towards these anime-based games because Red Dead Redemption has a sex scene in it. And, right.
With nudity and everything. There's no nudity in these games.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and,
maybe like bras or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, like, and the one thing they made them censor was, like, recently there was just some, I'll get the title later, but there was just in the intro of this anime game, it shows a girl laying down, and she has, like, her bra kind of just hanging off, but it's still covering her. Mm-hmm. They made them, like, because the policies are so unclear, they're just like, all right, whatever, and they just, like, shined, like, a bright light over her, so you can't actually see her body at all. So I don't think Sony was like, you got to do that, but I think it's just so unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of like, this is what we have to do.
Okay, fine. Is this fine?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's getting out of hand, and it's not so much a debate of censorship anymore. I mean, it is, but, like, not so much our personal opinion, just, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're like, really shooting yourselves in the foot at this point, because Nintendo has taken the exact opposite stance on this.
Which is still really strange.
Which is very strange. Nintendo, I don't know if you know this, but Nintendo doesn't care. The game that they cut out, the portion that they cut out of that in the Burst Renewal game was basically the entire game that came out on the Switch.
No, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they're infamous. Nintendo's always been infamous for being too tight on restrictions, but now,
because they're more of like a family-friendly console.
They've completely let go of that. They've decided this generation they want to be as third-party friendly as possible, and that includes being hands-off when it comes to this type of thing. They're not going to let porn on their system.
Right.
Well, there's some stuff on the eShop that's like, I'm like, what is this? Why is this on here?
Yeah.
Do they sell your shirt on there?
No, but I've seen stuff on there that's like, I swear it was like porn game or whatever. It was in Japanese, so I don't know.
Are you talking about the conversation simulator with like the real pictures and stuff?
No, I've also seen like the like male anime like dating simulator stuff.
Okay.
And like, there's a lot of like weird stuff that you would only see normally on like Steam.
Steam, yeah.
So which is great because that's why the rating system exists.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets through the rating system, then it should go on the system.
These console makers don't need to add an extra layer. This is
right.
Why the rating system is in place.
Yeah, Sony doesn't have any place making them censor stuff. That's why the ESRB exists.
Yeah, it's a strange time when the ESRB is more lenient than Sony.
So, yeah, it's frustrating for sure, and I think that Sony eventually will end up getting hurt by this.
Well, I was telling my little brother this. I think all that's happening right now, I think we've addressed this. It's just that in the history of video games, whenever a company comes on top, they get very cocky.
Yeah, no, that's what me and you always talk about.
Yeah, and no, I just said it to my little brother, but they get very cocky.
Every generation.
And they start enforcing ridiculous policy, and they don't think about the consequences because they're like, well, we're on top. And it's like, great, but that can easily change another generation.
Yeah, it could easily change in a year.
Yeah.
A console, you know, Xbox has a $100 price drop and releases a couple good games, and all of a sudden it sells 30 million units in a year and you're done.
These Japanese developers aren't going to put up with this for too much longer.
No.
They're going to get frustrated and they're going to move on.
Well, and it doesn't even need to be the fan service ones either that do that. They can see that the other developers are having issues and be like, man, maybe we shouldn't even bother.
Yeah. I mean, there's been games that were slated to come out on PS4 and they're just like, you know what? Forget it. We're not dealing with these policies. It's just too. The thing is, Sony needs to get their act together and figure out what exactly is the problem.
Yeah.
What needs to be enforced,
or at least come out with the actual guidelines.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah.
They need to release an actual consistent guideline with this. They can't just be so subjective based and that like cartoon boobs are a problem, but 3D animated boobs in Red Dead Redemption, that's fine. So then.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any
sense.
Or,
like, blowing a guy's head into smithereens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's perfectly fine with every generation.
Well, because I recently was playing Red Dead, and, like, somebody attacked me. I just turned around really quick and, like, shot him, and his head just exploded off. Yeah. So, anyway. All right. Yeah, it's fucked. And we've talked about this plenty of times before, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about it again.
Just a development. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so here's a interesting topic that Bowman brought to the table. Are video games an investment?
No.
You get a lot of people that think they are.
Yes.
And there's a lot of services out there, like VGA grading,
yeah,
that basically cater to these types of people who think that they're an investment, and they charge you how much, like $500 or something?
It depends. There's so many different tiers.
Yeah. They take your game and they charge you $500 and they give you like a hard plastic shell to put it in that you can't open unless you destroy the shell. And then it has a grading system on it, like a comic book or whatever. That
Yeah, it's basically comic books and baseball cards.
Right.
Used to have this
type
of system.
The only game I ever made money on was, I think, PlayStation 1 Phantasy Star Online.
What?
Or
that game doesn't exist.
Or it was like, it was, I want to say Phantasy Star or
GameCube?
No.
Dreamcast? No.
Maybe. They sold only like 5,000 copies, and that's why it ended up being so expensive. Because it ended up being a really good game, and then like
I think you might be talking about the Phantasy Star Plus or whatever on GameCube.
I'll double check, but I know it was a really limited release. And then
it was Phantasy Star, though?
I want to say it was Phantasy Star.
Well, anyway, so basically, you got a lot of people in the hobby that are, well, I mean, we could just talk about the limited
convention?
Run thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about the convention, but yeah, I mean, you were talking the other day about, like, limited run and the types of things that you've seen.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see people discuss on social media or even just message boards on limited run. A lot of people are very upset about the Best Buy. We talked about the Best Buy thing briefly, but how Limited Run has a deal with Best Buy right now, and people are upset because these games are more readily available, and they feel that Limited Run is hurting their investment. Listen to that, like that. What is this?
By making it more available to people,
they're ruining their investment.
And yeah, Phantasy Star Online 1 and 2 plus,
yeah,
for GameCube.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I think we got that deal together where we like they had them on clearance or they clearanced them out at Target back in the mid-2000s for
like
$12,
like
$7, yeah.
And we both bought them, and it was a pretty good game, and then I ended up selling it for like $75 back then.
Yeah, so but yeah, the limited run thing is a perfect example, and it just shows, we talked about this I think last week, it shows the level of entitlement that's just not existent in other hobbies, I feel like.
Let's try to... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Where Limited Run is making these games more available so little Tommy can get Golf Story on his Switch because he doesn't know any better. He's not going to go to Limited Run at, you know, noon or whatever and buy the game real quick before it sells out. So they're trying to make it more available to people that might see it at the store or see it in the Best Buy ad. And these speculators are keeping these games as an investment. I mean, you know, and they're not. Realistically, we were just talking about how a game after a year will go from $60 to $15. I just got Wolfenstein 2 for $15 on Black Friday. It's been out for 1 year. And it's a good game.
Well, that's why they want these limited edition games that they can hold over.
Yeah.
So, it's strange, but I mean, let's go ahead and dip our toe on the other side of that argument. And you know, where if you are talking to somebody who really wanted to make some money off their video games, what do they do? Like, how do they do that?
I would say focus on games that have a decently sized audience, but are a limited release. So maybe, like, I mean, that Senran Kagura, Bon Appetit for Vita is probably going to be I could foresee that being a $200 or $300 game in 10 years.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. I think things like console exclusives for consoles that don't sell well. So if they never re-release Fire Emblem / whatever. What's the game called again? I'm drawing a blank here. The RPG for the Wii U.
Oh, are you talking about Tokyo Mirage
Sessions?
Yeah,
if they never re-release that, I could see that being like a $150 game down the line.
I think it's all going to depend if these games are... I think a big factor is going to be, are they playable?
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
That's a big thing.
Because part of the reason why Little Samson is $500 to $1,000 is because not only is it rare, but it's also one of the best games on the system. So people want to play it because it's one of those rare games where it's good and rare.
Yeah.
So I think if you want games, I mean, I think buying games as an investment is extremely stupid. But if you were to really, if you want to get an idea of what you would do in order to make money, I think stuff like that, console exclusives that will be sought after in terms of it needs a big audience. Little niche games are not going to do it. You need like, obviously this would never happen, but if for whatever reason there was like a Mario game that only had like 10,000 copies made, that game would be worth a fortune in 10 or 20 years. It's things like that. A Smash Brothers game or something. I don't know. Stuff like that that's got a limited run, like less than 100,000 copies. I think that would be what you... But realistically, it's not, because you look at the way that games are. I have like 1,000 games. And maybe 1 out of 20, maybe 1 out of 50, 30 are worth more than what they retailed for. After all these years, after 30 years, that's 20, 30 years, maybe 10%, maybe 5% are worth more than the $60 that they retailed for. So that should give you an idea of... And I didn't buy... It's not like I don't own the games, the expensive games, because I didn't feel like spending the money. I didn't buy them. Because I get most of my stuff from, like, a lot. So I have plenty of rare games and stuff, but in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about it, how many of those games are worth... end up becoming worth more than what you bought them for? Almost none. Almost none. And really, if you're going to do a gaming as an investment, realistically, the only thing you could do, and we talked about this recently, the only thing you could do is only keep sealed games, like brand new games. Because in 20 years, yeah, there's some fucking maniac out there who's got to have a sealed game collection, and he'll pay big money for it because there's only so many that are out there that exist. But even then, it's like, okay, so you're going to keep a big pile of sealed games
for 30 years?
Yeah, for 20 years or something. It could take up all this space, and you don't know for a fact that they're going to be worth anything later down the line. Go ahead, man. That's more power to you, but I don't see it as a good idea.
I just don't see too many crazy people like this in the future. I think it's possible. I just don't see enough of them for you to for the prices really to really get that crazy on certain games.
Yeah.
And
the market is already so small. Most people don't even understand us when we buy physical games.
Yeah, I get made fun of at work because everyone knows that I prefer physical games and no one understands it.
Yeah.
And I think a big thing to consider is that it's gone. My thought is absolutely gone.
Well,
maybe it'll come back over to me.
Co-host Bowman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm Bozeman, everybody.
Well, I mean, even going back maybe like, 20 years? When did the original Xbox come out?
2001.
Yeah, and none of those games are worth money.
It's a few, but it's like less than 20 out of the like 800 game library are worth more than what they retail for.
Yeah, and it's not even like you're making $10,000 off that game. You're making $20-$30.
Well, what I was going to say is that a lot of these games that were worth so much were inaccessible in many ways. Like Little Samson never got a re-release.
Yeah.
Like that's why it is. And we're in such a crazy retro market now. Like a lot of these games are getting re-releases somehow and they're becoming more and more accessible. You could probably think of a few examples in the top of your head of
Earthbound.
Games. There you go.
It halved in price it's been a couple of years, but since the Wii U release, it's gone down at least $100.
Yeah.
So
and as these games become more readily available, and I think a lot of these companies, the only games that are really going to be inaccessible, and this could possibly add to your investment, is that games that are just so tied up in many different ways that a re-release is just unlikely. Like GoldenEye, it's never getting re-released.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Right.
And yeah, there's multiple games that are like that, but you're not the new person to the party anymore. You're not the guy walking up to Microsoft. You're not walking up to young Bill Gates and investing at this point. Everybody,
yeah.
There's a lot. There weren't collectors back then. Now there are so many collectors.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, and that's the thing is that back in the '80s, everyone thought they were toys.
Yeah. Everybody threw the box. I mean, like your parents threw the boxes away because like whatever. And then when the game was done, you yourself brought them to whatever game
gave
store.
Gave it to a friend.
Get brought it to a game store and got like nothing for them.
Your
but
mom
now,
sells your NES collection with all your 40 games at a garage sale for $20
exactly.
while you're at school for the day.
That was a fun day.
But my point is that the perception of value wasn't there back then, and then people didn't think about it, and that's why they're sought after. But now everyone is going, oh, I got all these sealed games, and it's just, yeah, great. Everyone's doing that. Anyone who buys these special limited release physical copies, they're all like, not all of them, but a lot of them have that attitude. So there's plenty of copies, and there's and 10, 15 years from now, I don't think the amount of collectors is going to increase. I think it's going to significantly decrease. So you're going to have people out there who have all these games, and
right.
they don't give a shit. They're old now, and their kids don't care about them.
Yeah.
So they're going to be sold, and they're going to lower in value. Like, I think there's always going to be certain games that will be a higher value at some point, but that's only a very niche amount of games that we're talking here.
Yeah.
So it's stupid. Invest in stocks. Don't invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, no Bitcoin.
All right. So I got one more topic for you. It's a fun one. It's a nice one. It's a wholesome topic. What is your favorite gaming Christmas gift you ever got? It's Christmas time, folks. It's December. What's your favorite Christmas gaming gift you ever got, Bowman? You got plenty of them, I'm sure.
I'm trying to think, really.
I mean, I'll start with mine.
It's tough
then.
For me because I have so many. I spoiled rotten. We got so many games.
I'll start with mine. I believe it was the Christmas of 1997, maybe 96. And me and Tim here, we pooled our resources together. My resources, I mean our begging, together.
We only want this.
Yeah, and we begged for a PS1, and she tried to get us to give her other ideas. Well, is there anything else? No, just this. The both of us had to ask for as a joint gift, and we finally, at this point, now, I had never gotten a console when it was even relatively new. It might have been 96.
Because we usually got consoles.
Console
a couple
came
years
out
after.
In. I'm trying to remember if the PS1 came out in 95 or 96 in America. But we got it like the year after it came out and the following Christmas. And we got the console. We ended up getting it and we got the console and we got Crash Bandicoot 2, Twisted Metal 2. And I think that might have been
that's it.
Couple other games, I think. They had the demo disc with Blasto on it.
I actually played that demo a lot.
Yeah.
it was released September of 95.
In the U.S.?
Yes. Japan was December the year before.
So we got it maybe the Christmas of 96. And it was incredible. It's one of my favorite consoles of all time. It's one of my biggest collections. I have probably like 50 or 60 games for it, and I really love the PS1. It was like I said, it was one of the first consoles I got when it was new. I had the Genesis and the NES before that, but the Genesis I got in like 94 or something, so it was already, you know, the Saturn was coming out, and Yeah, so it was amazing. It's one of the better Christmases that I can remember. It was not common for us to get a new console and a handful of games and stuff for it.
Well,
so
we did pull both of our Christmas presents.
Yeah, and realistically, looking back, I don't remember how much. I think it might have been like $300 or something. So it probably made sense. No, it's $299 when it launched. So it might have been like $200 at the time. Realistically, we might have blown it combining our gifts there because
she usually spent about that on each of us.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But
whatever. We got it. That was the point.
Yeah, we got it. It was great. And yeah. Do you have a better story for you?
I wouldn't say a better story because
you're younger than me, so you might have.
I mean, maybe. that was definitely one of my favorites. But getting the Game Boy Color for Christmas was also a big thing for us.
Yeah.
Which one did you get? The green one or the
purple?
I had
the purple one.
Yeah. I didn't get one.
You didn't have one?
No, they only got one for you.
Oh, well.
Granddad got it for you.
Oh, yeah. That was a great Christmas for me then. I definitely played that continuously for years. So.
I remember what it was. I was the one who asked for it and like begged for it. You were basically like too young to even ask for it.
Oh, that's a great pleasure.
Yeah, because Pokemon had come out.
Yes, that's exactly.
Oh, and so like I begged for it, and
I'm sure mom said no. So
and then they got it for you, and then you broke it because you might have lied, but your reasoning was that you dropped it in the water fountain at school.
Yeah, I don't really remember how I broke it, but I remember breaking it.
Yeah, so that was great. Good.
Actually, I want to say it was a toilet. Yeah. I want to say
said it was the water fountain.
Yeah, probably said it was a water fountain, but I probably dropped it in the toilet and was too embarrassed to tell people.
Right.
To be perfectly honest. But yeah, I definitely loved the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite Christmas.
I'll be stereotypical 90s kid and go Nintendo 64.
Okay. Did you know you were getting it, or
we did? There was two. I'm thinking of two instances where I'm gonna go console first and then game. So console wise, 96. Yes, I remember getting my backpack out of my mom's car, and there was Mario 64 just sitting there staring at me.
That's so tough though. Like, yeah, now you have to wait.
Yep, and I just looked at my mom, and she noticed that I looked, and we just didn't say a word about it.
Yeah, but then you probably went and told all your brothers, we're getting a Nintendo 64.
Probably. And, yeah, I just remember us opening it, and I still, like, even it being unwrapped was just such a cool moment for me, and it stays in my mind. Yeah, because I owned all those game systems back then, and I was very spoiled. We got everything. And, I know. I'm not proud of it because in a way,
game console that you've never heard of,
like,
he had.
I'm jealous of these moments that you guys have where you're just like, we got this game system and like we wanted this thing. Yeah. And like, but like
you always knew you were just
we knew we were getting it. Yeah. It was a given. And we usually knew we were getting a game system for if a game system came out, we were getting at least one of them for Christmas. And then like I remember the GameCube and Xbox came out, and we ended up getting both. And I'm like, even in my mind, I'm like, why are we getting both of these as a kid? Anyways, so the N64 got opened up, and like, yeah, I was so excited about that system, and it just because of Mario 64. I remember going to Target, and the kiosk was there, and just playing the kiosk and having the timer run out constantly, and it resets the game.
Yep.
And then I would still start it back up because I don't know what it was. That game just gripped you.
That game just blew your fucking mind.
Yeah,
the first
really
time you
did.
Played it.
And it was just coming from someone who played a lot of 3D games already at that point.
Yeah, but it was all the garbage.
Yeah, but it was all garbage, and it didn't look quite like this or feel like this. It was so natural. So I remember us immediately like hooking it up and playing it, like not wasting any time. The next thing that was a big deal, which was, it's silly, but you know, like my family, we always cared about the dumb games. Toy Story for Genesis was a big one for me. And I still love that game.
Ugh,
and did you ever play it?
I have.
I love that game. And
I've played it as well, and it's very difficult.
Yeah,
we rented
for a Toy Story.
We
game.
Rented it. Well, there was always some weird moments in our family where we rented a lot of games.
Yeah,
and we didn't. And yeah, so well, we had a great game
we didn't
store.
Rent a lot of games, but if we rented games more than we got games.
Yep. Rest in peace, Blockbuster.
Yeah.
16,000 movies for me.
Last game I rented from Blockbuster was Universal Studios Theme Park Adventure for the GameCube.
Great game. So We had this Christmas tradition where, I don't know if I ever told you this, where we had a, well, it became a new thing recent years where the magic elf, the elf on a shelf, that stupid looking elf on a shelf.
Yes.
No, ours was like, ours did not look like that. It was like a cloth doll where like a flat face and stuff, and it had like a big bright smile. It was cute. I missed that thing. And you'd put it down at the
rest
end of the night.
Rest in peace, elf.
Yeah, sorry about it. My family has no idea where it went. And you'd sprinkle glitter on it at the end of every night, and it would and at night it would come to life and it would hide somewhere, and you had to find it in the morning, mm-hmm. and it would have like a letter written out to you and everything. And like my parents, how they did it was they just wrote whatever hand that they weren't dominant in, they would switch, and that's how they wrote the letters. And we were always convinced, like, there's no way that it's our parents. That's not their handwriting.
Uh-huh.
So,
God, you would not want to see my left-handed writing. You wouldn't be able to read it.
So, yeah, the magic elf would also give us a gift every year that was for all the kids. And, like, we rented Toy Story, and Toy Story was just one of those movies where all of us loved it. We were all into it. My oldest brother... and I had got some of the toys. I loved Woody. He loved Buzz, and we would play the toys together. And so that was like the magic elf gift that year was the Genesis version of Toy Story.
Hmm.
So that was big for us. Don't know why, like, but it
we
was.
We were a little bit older, so it wasn't as exciting. But we got the DS. Like right when it. After it came out.
That was one of them that came in my mind as well.
Yeah. But it wasn't as exciting because I was like 14.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were almost on the verge of buying it yourself.
No, what year did the DS was 2004?
Because I think mm-hmm. I was like 13 or 14.
I think it might have been 2003.
I'm pretty sure it's 2004. But that's on my list a bit. But it didn't impact me as much as those did.
2004, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I was excited for it, but by the time I probably got it,
In 2004.
Wasn't into it, because I already had, I think I bought the PSP with my own money.
Okay.
Or no, wait, was that 2005 or 2004, the PSP?
It came out shortly after, I'm pretty sure.
Same year? No, it was the next year.
It was next year. But
weird.
I mean, you were already working at that time, weren't you? 2005?
2004, yeah. So
I'm pretty sure you bought the PSP yourself.
I did.
That's definitely not something
I traded a bunch of shit in at FYE to get the PSP.
I mean, you probably traded all my games?
No.
Was it that year?
I don't remember that story at all.
What happened?
He traded in all my games, and like it was the first time
I remember this
in front of my mom.
Yeah, but this is how the story went, because they always end it there, is you traded in all of his games. So I decided recently to inquire about this story, and apparently he gave me the games to go, hey, go trade this in.
But I was like, hey, only do it if you can get this amount of money for it, because they were pretty new games. He comes back and hands me $4.
Like, because it's GameStop. Like,
and it was like four or five brand new games, and he hands me $4. Yeah, okay.
Sold your games.
You.
Here you go.
Yeah.
You were a dumb kid, and like, just... You didn't understand that what you were getting into with GameStop.
I'm pretty sure you just took advantage of your little brother, but
it's possible.
Yeah, it's very possible.
It's possible. But I didn't make a habit of just robbing you.
No, just that once.
All right, I agree to disagree. I don't remember that incident at all.
That's really funny.
I remember it pretty clearly.
All right, well, yeah, well, family tales here. All right, so I guess we'll wrap this thing up. If you made it this far, we appreciate you. We love you. And we want you to keep listening. We want you to subscribe. We want you to follow me on Twitter at Project with a K, Pat 88. And you can follow Bowman at
Bowman Says.
Bowman Says on Twitter. You can follow Tim if you want to do that. Where are you at?
I have a Twitter, but I don't even know the name of it.
All right, cool.
Cool. look him up. Just type in Tim. You might have to do some little digging, but you might find him.
And so you can get us on iTunes, Google, and Google's broken right now.
Hasn't updated.
Really? It tells you the last date that it updated, and it hasn't updated in over
a
week.
The podcast app that Google released works?
Yeah, but it doesn't. It hasn't updated on Google servers at all.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, but Podbean, Stitcher, and all that shit.
Spotify, right?
Yep, Spotify, and we have a
29's on there.
Oh,
on the podcast app. Yep.
Okay.
Our last episode's on there.
And we have a website. It is www.analog-out.pinecast.co. And you can get any of those podcast websites where you can subscribe from that website. And on that note, we look forward to seeing you again real soon. We hope you have a good night. Bye-bye.
Later. Log out.